Chapter 9, The Fiscal Condition of County Governments in Nebraska, by John Unger. Introduction. County governments constitute an important component of the Nebraska fiscal system. This chapter summarizes the current state of county government finances in Nebraska, measures the fiscal condition of every county in the state, analyzes the determinants of county spending, and discusses the options for state policy toward counties. The fiscal conditions of municipalities and of school districts are examined in separate chapters. Overview. This paper is built on the notion of a county government's fiscal condition, which is the impact of economic and social factors outside the control of county officials on the county's ability to deliver services to its residents. We find that counties in Nebraska vary widely in their fiscal condition. Counties in good fiscal condition tend to be urban or suburban counties in the eastern third of the state, or counties with large cities, by Nebraska standards, along Interstate 80. For reasons explained below, these counties have relatively low responsibilities for providing services, relatively low public service costs, and relatively high capacity for raising revenue. Counties in poor fiscal condition tend to be rural counties in the central or western parts of the state. These counties have relatively high service responsibilities and relatively high costs for providing public services, although some of them also have relatively high revenue-raising capacity. The principal source of state aid to counties in Nebraska is the Governmental Subdivision Fund. The formula used to distribute this aid rewards counties that select high-quality public services and counties that are poorly managed, but it does little to assist the counties in the poorest fiscal condition. We provide an alternative formula that would not reward management inefficiency and that would direct some or all of this aid to the neediest counties. Counties in Nebraska also face a constitutional limit on their property tax rate. This limit discriminates against counties without townships and against counties in relatively poor fiscal condition. We recommend some changes in the tax limit and in other state policies to deal with these problems. County government finance in Nebraska. As shown in Table 9-1, which is based on the accounting system employed by the U.S. Bureau of the Census, the average county in Nebraska raised $356 per capita in general revenue and spent $342 per capita in general expenditure during fiscal year 1986. The small surplus in these numbers does not imply that counties run a surplus in their own budgetary accounts. In the average Nebraska county, per capita income was $7,049 in 1983, so county revenue equals about 5% of income. General revenue consists of intergovernmental assistance and own source revenue from taxes and charges. Table 9-1 shows that state aid and federal general revenue sharing are the major sources of intergovernmental assistance, whereas property taxes and charges constitute most of own source revenue. The property tax is the only broad-based tax employed by Nebraska counties. It accounts for about 52% of own source revenue and about 40% of all general revenue. The census accounting system includes in state aid any federal aid to counties that is passed through the state. In a later section, where we examine state policy options, we switch to the state accounting system. In particular, we examine state grants provided through the Governmental Subdivision Fund. General expenditure is divided among payments to other governments, which are called intergovernmental expenditure, current operating expenditure, capital expenditure, and interest payments on general county debt. As shown in Table 9-1, operating expenditure makes up by far the largest share, 82%, of general expenditure. Table 9-1 also reveals that the operating expenditure in Nebraska is devoted principally to health and hospitals, 23%, highways, 27%, and miscellaneous services, 36%, which include record keeping and general county administration. The role of counties in Nebraska is fairly representative of their role in the nation as a whole. Because counties in Nebraska have relatively few people, about 17,000 on average, the most reasonable comparison is between counties in Nebraska and all counties with population below 100,000, the smallest category for which national data are available. These data come from the census publication, County Government Finances. Among all U.S. counties with population below 100,000, average per capita general revenue in fiscal year 1985 was $386 and average per capita general expenditure was $354, only slightly above the comparable averages for Nebraska. In this same group of U.S. counties, own source revenue accounted for 62% of general revenue, which is slightly below the share in Nebraska, and the property tax alone accounted for 40% of general revenue, which is exactly the same as the share in Nebraska. Operating spending in these U.S. counties constituted 78% of general spending, which is just below the 82% in Nebraska. Compared to counties in Nebraska, however, U.S. counties with populations below 100,000 devote a larger share of their operating spending to education, 26%, and to welfare, 11%, and a smaller share to highways, 15%. Finally, the share of operating spending devoted to health and hospitals is virtually the same in Nebraska counties, 26%, and in these U.S. counties, 24%. The national figures for education, welfare, and hospitals, unlike the Nebraska figures, include small amounts of capital spending. County fiscal condition. In this paper, we focus on the fiscal condition of county governments in Nebraska. We do not examine the fiscal condition of municipalities or townships, although we do determine the impact of these other local governments on county fiscal condition. One cannot apply our results for a county to the municipalities or townships within that county. A city can be in poor fiscal condition even if the government of the county in which it is located is in good fiscal condition, and vice versa. Throughout this paper, the term county is used to refer to a geographic area or to a county government, but is never used to refer to all the local governments in a county. The concept of fiscal condition. As we use the term, a county government's fiscal condition is a measure of its ability to deliver public services to its residents, as determined by social and economic factors that are outside the control of county officials. This concept of fiscal condition is not the same thing as a county government's budgetary condition, which is heavily influenced by county officials' political and management decisions. A county's fiscal condition indicates the constraints imposed on county officials by economic and social factors, but it does not reflect their responses to those constraints. To put it another way, we want to determine the fiscal cards dealt to each county, not how well each county plays its fiscal hand. Some illustrations may help to make this distinction more clearly. Some counties are in poor fiscal condition because their residents have low incomes and therefore have little capacity to pay taxes. Other counties are in poor fiscal condition because they have relatively high responsibilities for service provision or because they face relatively high costs for providing public services. Low income, high responsibilities, and high costs represent structural factors outside the control of county officials and therefore are incorporated into our measure of a county's fiscal condition. In contrast, some counties run budget deficits because budget officials were unduly optimistic about county revenues. Moreover, some counties provide low-quality public services because voters prefer to spend their money on private goods or because the county's management practices are inefficient. Budgeting techniques, decisions about public service quality, and management practices are political or management factors that are largely determined by county officials and therefore are excluded from our measure of county fiscal condition. One county's fiscal condition can readily be compared to another's. If County A has a better fiscal condition than County B, then we can say that economic and social factors make it easier for County A to provide public services to its residents. Compared to County B, County A can provide higher quality public services, or impose a lower tax rate on its residents, or both. Because fiscal condition excludes political and management factors, it also can be an objective guide for state policy. In the next part of the paper, we determine whether grants from the state of Nebraska are directed toward the counties in the poorest fiscal condition, and we design cost-effective state grants for helping the neediest counties. The revenue side of a county's fiscal condition is determined by its revenue-raising capacity. The expenditure side is determined by its expenditure need. The next two sections define these concepts and calculate them for all counties in Nebraska. A county's overall fiscal condition is measured by its need capacity gap, which is the difference between its expenditure need and its revenue-raising capacity. The third section calculates the need capacity gap in Nebraska's counties. The final section in this part of the paper shows how a county's operating spending is influenced by the components of its fiscal condition and by several other factors. The technical details of our calculations are explained in an appendix to this paper. Revenue raising capacity. One principal component of a county government's fiscal condition is its capacity to raise revenue. It is not appropriate, however, to measure a county's capacity to raise revenue by the amount of revenue it actually raises. One county may collect more revenue than another because it prefers to spend more on public services, not because its underlying capacity to raise revenue is greater. To make valid comparisons across counties, a measure of revenue-raising capacity must be based on the same tax burden in every county, that is, it must ask how much revenue the county could raise at a given tax burden on its residents. Tax burden is a measure of sacrifice of the extent to which tax subtract from a household's ability to purchase private goods and services. The appropriate measure of tax burden, therefore, is taxes paid as a percentage of income. It follows that a county's property tax base, like the tax revenue it collects, is not a good measure of its revenue-raising capacity. Consider two counties with the same income, but with different property tax bases. The county with the higher property tax base can raise more revenue than the other counties at any given property tax rate, but if all property taxes are paid by county residents, these higher property taxes translate into a higher tax burden on county residents. Holding the property tax rate constant, in other words, is not the same thing as holding the resident tax burden constant. Revenue-raising capacity analysis. A county government's revenue-raising capacity, that is, the amount of revenue it can raise at a given tax burden on its residents, depends on three factors: resident income, the taxes collected by townships and municipalities within the county, and the county's ability to export its tax burden to non-residents. Because tax burden is defined as a percentage of resident income, the higher is resident income, the higher is the amount of money that a county can raise at a given tax burden. Moreover, some counties have to share taxable resources with townships and municipalities. The greater the share of capacity that is used up by townships and municipalities, the smaller is the share that is left over for the county government. Finally, to the extent that counties can't shift some of their tax burden to non-resident property owners or non-resident shoppers, they can raise revenue without imposing any burden on their own residents. In other words, the greater is a county's ability to export tax burdens, the greater is its revenue-raising capacity, all else equal. Our objective is to determine the revenue a county could raise at a given tax burden on its resident. In a fiscal system like Nebraska's, in which counties, townships, and municipalities all play a role, we cannot make valid comparisons across counties unless we interpret this tax burden as the overall tax burden, that is, the tax burden imposed by county, township, and municipal governments combined. The government of a county in which most of the population pays municipal taxes does not have, all else equal, the same capacity to raise revenue as the government of another county in which no other general-purpose local government lays claim to taxable resources. We do not consider school districts in this analysis because they blanket the state and therefore do not change the capacity of any one county relative to another. Thus, we employ a net measure of revenue-raising capacity in which the capacity used up by townships and municipalities is subtracted from capacity each county would have at the overall local tax burden. In the case of capacity through the property tax, a county's overall capacity is the amount of revenue it would raise if it imposed the statewide average burden of property taxes on its residents. The capacity used up by the townships and municipalities in a county is the revenue that they would collect if they impose the statewide average property tax burden for their type of jurisdiction. This approach ensures that a county's net revenue-raising capacity does not depend on the actual revenue raised by townships and municipalities within its borders, just as it does not depend on the actual revenue raised by the county itself. The principal problem that confronts anyone attempting to measure revenue-raising capacity through the property tax is that the ability to export this tax to non-residents is difficult to measure. Indeed, this ability cannot be determined without information on the composition of the property tax base and on the residences of property owners, along with a complex analysis of the incidence of county property taxes, that is, of whether capital owners, landowners, consumers, or workers ultimately bear the burden of these taxes. Following standard practice, we assume that the property tax on single-family houses is borne by the owners and that the property tax on rental property is shared by landlords and tenants. In Nebraska, it is approximately true that all landlords live in the county in which they own property, so all three groups that bear the residential portion of the property tax are county residents, and this portion of the tax does not involve any exporting. Also, following standard practice, we assume that the property tax on commercial and industrial property, including private utilities, is borne primarily by company owners and landowners. Using national average figures, we estimate that about half of these owners are corporate shareholders who live in other states, so that about half of the tax on commercial and industrial property is exported to non-residents. The same type of analysis indicates that the owners of farms and of farmland bear the burden of taxes on farm property. According to the Nebraska State Constitution, corporations are not allowed to own farm property, and it seems reasonable to suppose that most of the owners of farm property are residents of the county in which the property is located. As a result, we assume that none of the property taxes on farm property can be exported to non-residents. According to this approach, the 1987 Banner decision by the Nebraska Supreme Court will have no impact on the revenue-raising capacity of counties, although it will shift the burden of the property tax toward farm property. The Banner decision bans the assessment of farm property at its current use value instead of at its market value. Consequently, this decision will result in higher assessed values for some farm property. Because little, if any, of the property tax burden on farm property can be exported, however, any increase in property taxes because of this decision will be paid by county residents. In other words, this change in assessment methods does not alter the amount of revenue a county can collect at a given tax burden on its residents. Counties in Nebraska do not depend entirely on the property tax. Indeed, almost half of their revenue from own sources comes from other taxes or charges. Because these other revenue sources are not broad-based taxes, they have little export potential. Charges, for example, tend to be related to services provided directly to residents. As explained in a later section, hospital charges, which may be paid by non-residents, are excluded from the capacity analysis. Thus, we assume that none of the burden of these other taxes and charges can be exported. In addition, a county's overall capacity to raise revenue through sources other than the property tax equals the amount of revenue it could raise at the statewide average tax burden for these sources. The county government's net revenue-raising capacity equals this overall capacity minus the capacity used up by municipal governments and townships through revenue sources other than the property tax. As in the case of the property tax, the capacity used up by these other jurisdictions is the revenue that they would collect if they impose the statewide average revenue burden for their type of jurisdiction. A county government's total revenue-raising capacity equals the sum of its capacity through the property tax and its capacity through other revenue sources. Counties with a high revenue-raising capacity have a high per capita income, a high concentration of commercial and industrial property, which makes exporting possible, or a small role for township and municipal governments, or some combination of these three characteristics. Revenue-raising capacity findings. For ease of interpretation, we convert all of our measures of revenue-raising capacity into indexes to reveal percentage deviations from the average county, which has an index of 100. A county with an index of 120, for example, has a capacity that is 20% higher than that of the average county. Table 9.2 presents our indexes of revenue-raising capacity for all counties in Nebraska in 1986. Our index of revenue-raising capacity through the property taxes presented in the first column of Table 9.2. By definition, the average value of this index is 100, but the value of the index varies widely from one county to another. A standard deviation is a measure of the typical variation in a variable. Most counties will fall within one standard deviation of the average. The standard deviation for this index is about 23, so most counties fall between 100 minus 23 equals 77 and 100 plus 23 equals 123. The counties with the highest revenue-raising capacity through the property tax fall into three categories. SRP and Douglas are urban counties with relatively high per capita income, so that their net capacity is high despite the high share of capacity claimed by municipalities. Douglas County, which ranks 6th, also receives a capacity boost from its high concentration of commercial and industrial property and the attendant ability to export the property tax burden to non-residents. Lancaster County ranks 40th despite its relatively high income and commercial property because over 90% of its population lives in municipalities. In contrast, Gosper, Stanton, and McPherson are rural counties with below-average income, but they also have few or no municipalities with which they must share their capacity. The other two counties in the top seven, Perkins and Cass, fall somewhere in between, with somewhat above average income and about half of their population in municipalities. The counties with the lowest revenue-raising capacity through the property tax, namely Boyd, Sherman, Holt, Knox, and Dixon, have low per capita income, a significant municipal population, townships, and virtually no ability to export their property tax burden. By using up a large share of overall capacity through the property tax, townships have a major impact on a county government's capacity. Indeed, 13 of the 14 counties with the lowest capacity have townships. Our index of revenue-raising capacity through other sources for Nebraska's counties is presented in the second column of Table 9.2. This index, which also has an average value of 100, exhibits slightly more variation across counties than does the index for capacity through the property tax. The standard deviation for this index is 30, which implies that most counties have indexes between 70 and 130. Municipalities rely more heavily on revenue sources other than the property tax than do counties. As a result, a municipality uses up more of the available capacity from these other revenue sources than from the property tax, and counties with small municipal populations have a relatively higher capacity through these sources than they do through the property tax. Because the burden of these other revenue sources cannot be exported, counties with commercial or industrial centers have relatively less capacity through these other sources than through the property tax. Townships have relatively little impact on capacity through other sources because these sources supply only 17% of their own source revenue, on average. These conclusions are illustrated in the second column of Table 9.2. The five counties with the highest capacity through other revenue sources, McPherson, Stanton, Gosper, Banner, and Hayes, all have below-average incomes but small shares of their population in municipalities. SRP County drops to 6th on this capacity index because the share of its population in municipalities is higher than that of these other five counties. Three of the counties with the lowest capacity through other revenue sources, namely Lancaster, Hall, and Dodge, have above-average income, but far above-average shares of their population in municipalities. Douglas County, which has these same characteristics, ranks 13th from the bottom. the other counties at the bottom of this capacity index, namely Hooker, Boyd, and Furness, have below-average income and an above-average share of their population in municipalities. Total revenue-raising capacity is the sum of capacity through the property tax and capacity through other sources. Our index for counties' total capacity is presented in the third column of Table 9-2. This index has an average value of 100 and a standard deviation of 23. The four counties with the highest total revenue-raising capacity, namely McPherson, Stanton, Gosper, and Sarpy, also are among the counties with the highest capacity both through the property tax and through other revenue sources. Among the counties with the lowest overall capacity, Boyd, Sherman, Holt, and Knox rank near the bottom on capacity through the property tax, and Hooker has the second lowest capacity through other revenue sources. Because of its high capacity through the property tax, Douglas County ranks 33rd in overall capacity, whereas Lancaster County ranks 71st, largely because it has the lowest capacity through other revenue sources in the state. Expenditure need. A county's expenditure need is the amount it must spend to provide a standardized quality of county services. This expenditure need depends on two factors: the county's service responsibilities and its costs for providing public services. Through no fault of their own, counties with relatively extensive service responsibilities and counties with relatively high costs must spend more than other counties to achieve any given quality of public services. As on the revenue side, a county's actual expenditure is a poor measure of its expenditure need. Some counties spend more than others because they are wealthier or because they have a stronger preference for public services. Valid comparisons across counties require, therefore, that service quality be held constant. In this section, we examine service responsibilities, service costs, and expenditure need in Nebraska's counties. Service responsibilities analysis. At one level, the service responsibilities of Nebraska's counties are quite uniform. All counties must provide basic local public services, such as police protection, in areas not served by municipalities. They must maintain highways not maintained by other jurisdictions, and they must provide certain administrative services to all county residents. Despite this common starting point, however, three factors lead to significant variation in service responsibilities across counties: the role of municipalities, the number of miles of county roads, which depends to a large degree on the roads provided by townships, municipalities, and the state and federal governments, and responsibility for hospitals. Municipal governments provide basic services, such as police protection, and thereby relieve the county of responsibility for providing these services to people who live in municipalities. In some cases, villages or small cities contract with their county for police protection. According to our terminology, these municipalities retain the responsibility for police protection, but they may purchase it from their county. It follows that a county with a relatively large share of its population in municipalities is relieved of a large share of its spending responsibilities, that is, it does not have to spend as much per capita as other counties to provide the same quality public services. For services other than highways and hospitals, the average county in the state spends $218 for each county resident outside a municipality and $64 for each county resident within a municipality. A county's responsibility for these services is the amount it would have to spend to reach these statewide averages. In other words, a county's service responsibility per county resident equals $218 multiplied by the share of its population outside municipalities, plus $64 multiplied by the share of its population within municipalities. School districts are excluded from this analysis because the services they provide are not a substitute for county services. The second factor that influences a county's service responsibilities is the number of miles of highways for which it is responsible. Counties that must maintain relatively many miles of roads per capita must spend more per capita than other counties to maintain those roads at a given quality level. This factor is heavily influenced by the role of townships. In Nebraska, townships' principal responsibility is to maintain highways. In counties with townships, therefore, much of the responsibility for highways is claimed by townships, and the number of miles of county roads is relatively small. In some cases, a township contracts with its county for road maintenance, that is, the county carries out the maintenance and is reimbursed by the township. In our terms, the township retains responsibility for its highways, and the county is simply its agent. Actions by other governments also may influence this factor. A county in which the state or federal government provides extensive highways may have fewer highways to maintain itself. A county's responsibility for highways is the amount it would have to spend to maintain its highways at an average quality level. In fiscal year 1986, the average county spent $1,636 per mile on its highways. To calculate a county's responsibility for highways, therefore, we multiply this average spending per mile by the number of miles for which that county is responsible. 26 counties in Nebraska have responsibility for hospitals. 2 other counties have hospitals, but spend so little on them that we set their hospital responsibility equal to zero. Several counties also are affiliated with hospital districts or hospital authorities. These special districts are excluded from county financial statements, are not considered here. To a large degree, the services provided by county hospitals are paid for by the service recipients, that is, the outflow associated with responsibility for hospitals is largely offset by an inflow of hospital charges. Nevertheless, responsibility for a hospital may require some hospital spending that is not covered by hospital charges, and it may require spending in other county departments, such as health or general administration. In our analysis of county spending, which is described in a later section, we estimate that, controlling for hospital charges, counties with responsibility for hospitals spend $44 per capita more, on average, than counties without hospitals. For counties with hospitals, therefore, we add $44 to our measure of county service responsibilities. Service responsibilities, findings. A county's service responsibility is the amount it would have to spend per capita to provide basic and highway services of average quality. For counties with county hospitals, overall service responsibilities also include average county hospital spending over and above hospital charges collected. For ease of interpretation, we present our measure of county service responsibilities in index form. The average county has a responsibility index equal to 100. A county with an index equal to 110 must, solely because of its service responsibilities, spend 10% more than the average county to achieve the average service quality in the state. The service responsibility index for each county in Nebraska is presented in the first column of Table 9.3. This index has an average value of 100 and a standard deviation of 68. It ranges from 42 in Madison County to 602 in McPherson County. McPherson County is an extreme case. The county with the second highest responsibility, Arthur, has an index of only 231. McPherson County's index is so extreme because it has no municipalities with which to share service responsibilities, and because it has 12 times as many miles of county roads per capita as the average county. Other counties with relatively high indexes, including Arthur, Banner, Hays, and Cayapaha, also have a relatively low share of their population in municipalities, and higher than average miles of county roads per capita, although always less than one-third as many miles per capita as McPherson County. The counties with the lowest service responsibility indexes, namely Lancaster, Hall, Adams, Buffalo, and Madison, all have more than three-quarters of their population within municipalities, and only one-tenth as many miles of roads per capita as the average county. Two other urban counties, Scottsbluff and Douglas, also fall among the 10 counties with the lowest service responsibilities, even though one of them, Douglas, has county hospitals.